In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Good morning, everyone, and welcome as we come together again, celebrating the Holy Liturgy and celebrating His presence in the midst of us and celebrating His life that He wants to give to all of us. And as you can see, the transition, again, you know, just a few weeks ago, we were just enjoying the fall weather and the colors of the trees and everything, and then just all of a sudden things changes, right? And then you start to actually feel the crisp air and the coldness and preparing to what's going to come next, right? Just a reminder. But as with this, you look also to what's happening and looking at the nature and see, like, is there some kind of division in what's happening? Is there, like, this is a season by itself and this is another season by itself and another season by itself? And you look at it more and more, so, no, there is no division, right? There is one thread that kind of brings everything back together, which is Him Himself, the Creator, right? Who created all this, you know? And if you're truly Minnesotans or have been in Minnesota for a long time, like myself, you know, and you understand that you can see the four seasons in one day, right? So, you know, it's not a surprise, but it actually shows something that is very, very important, which is that the Lord is a Lord of harmony. The Lord is the Lord of order. The Lord is the Lord of things coming together, not for division, not for separations, not for anything that goes against that. You know, division is the opposite of that. Is what? What do you think? Unity, right? Actually, the word peace itself, peace, which is in the Hebrew, in the biblical Hebrew, shalom, which is salim in Arabic, in Arabic, salim means what? Perfect, one. So not just unity, but perfect. There is one thing, right? We see such and such is salim. It's full. It's coming together. It's coming together, and you see this more and more actually. In the reading of the Vespers, you know, we didn't pray Vespers yesterday, but the Gospel of the Vespers, Mark 4 and verse 39, with the story of the storm and the disciples in the boat, and then they thought that he was no sleeping, he is not taking care of the harmony of the world, right? And then he said he came and arose, and then it says, then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still, peace, right? Because I'm not the Lord of division, I'm not the Lord of separation, I'm not the Lord of chaos. Although we see all this now, which tells us again, you know, where are we going? And it tells us again, brings that question of where is the Lord in the midst of what's happening in the world, right? And the absence, as we said before, the absence of good is evil. Absence of light is darkness. With all those thoughts comes to my mind as we go through the beautiful passage of the Gospel of St. Matthew today, short Gospel, Matthew chapter 12, 22-28. And the story of the demon-possessed blind and mute who was healed, right? And then the people are actually accusing the Lord that you are doing this by the power of Beelzebul, right? And then he says something that's very, very, we all know it, but he said to them, but Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. As I was reading this, actually, more and more, and going back to the grammar of the statement, actually, it has a different meaning than what I used to understand all the time. Because according to this, it says what? If a person is divided against himself, that will lead into division. But actually, the grammar is actually the opposite of that. If he is casting himself out, there must have been a previous division. The actual translation that he was divided. So he was divided already because of the division, he acted upon that. So it's not the act that caused the division, but there is a division already that caused to the act. And it's a very, very important concept, right? Because, okay, we do this and this and this, and that will cause division in O. But no, wait a minute. The division is there already from before. And because of that, the act comes after. We just came from a conference with His Grace Bishop Voulis of Africa in Chicago and Milwaukee, and he was talking about how he was talking to the audience about how we easily get into our own caves and separate from the world and separate from what He wants us to be. But then he raised a very, very important question. He asked the people, you know, mainly young adults, like, does that come all of a sudden? The division, does it come all of a sudden? The lack of water, we're reading 2 Kings 3. The lack of water, does it all of a sudden comes like, wait a minute, no. So that it builds up. It builds up. The division builds up. Starts with something very, very small and builds up until the one point I'm actually isolated, I'm separated. Whether this is my relationship with Him or with each other, just think of any issue and how it starts with something that's very, very small, neglected, not being able to deal with it and to treat it, and then it becomes an issue. It becomes an issue. So why am I saying all these things? Because again, as I said, the Lord is a Lord of harmony, Lord of order. But we allow things to happen. And we're not paying attention to it, step by step, not all of a sudden, not a surprise, but we allow the division to happen, and because of that division that's already happening from inside, then we start to see actions. But because we're not paying attention, then all of a sudden, well, I have no idea why that happened, right? So again, the verse here is that the actual transition, He was divided, and then He did so and so. My challenging question now is, what is that division that's in my heart? What kind of division is there in our hearts? Because the Lord is not the Lord of division. The Lord is the Lord of unity. What is that, and where is this coming from? And how is that leading and impacting us and pushing us to act in a different way? And we are stuck with the action, and we're not looking at the division that started somehow, somewhere. The division that started somehow, somewhere. So what is this? What does that all mean? When you look at the reading today, you see three things. And one of them is actually very, very interesting. You know, the Pauline epistle today is the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians, and the last chapter, chapter 16. And we know that one of the big issues of the Church of Corinth was what? Division. One of the biggest things, right? Along with a few other things, but that was one thing. But then you see that St. Paul is very, very, very sincere in actually addressing and mentioning certain people by name. Right? Which is, again, it's puzzling. Like, you know what, you know, again, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruit of Achaia. And that they have devoted themselves. And then he goes on in verse 17. I'm glad about the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus, for what was lacking on your part they supplied. And like, why is he so concerned? And why is that part of the scripture that we are still reading till now, you know, thousands of years after the fact? Who are those people? And why is that? And why the church actually selected this part to go along with the passage of the demon-possessed person and the teaching of the Lord about what? About, you know, there is. I'm not the Lord. I'm not the God of division. If a house is divided, then it will go to be desolate. And look at those people. Actually, one of them, these three people, are the people who actually brought in the news to St. Paul about what's happening, and then he sent them back again, and so forth. Two of those names are actually names of, as the commentators and the scholars say, they are names of slaves. So they were actually away from Christianity. They were slaves, but then they came back through St. Paul into the faith. And the first thing that they can see that being converted and being believers now, that they were a source of what? Of healing. They were a source of bringing things back together again. To the point that St. Paul talks about the house of Stephanas and says what? That they themselves... And that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And then later on he talks about that they fulfilled, or they, for what was lacking on your part, they supplied. And then he goes on, they refreshed my spirit and yours. They were a reason to bring unity, to bring peace, to bring harmony. Why? Because they were truly believers. They knew that they were so and so and now became children of the Lord. So my first point today with this is a resource of refreshing and bringing peace and bringing comfort or not. As it says again, they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge such men. He talks about them as they were, especially the house of Stephanus, as what he called them, the first fruit of Achaia. Achaia is the region that started to believe, and they were the first fruit of that preaching, of that new church. They took the initiative. They were the first fruit. And I think it's a very, very good question for all of us. Are we, in a way, a first fruit to bring peace, or we are on the opposite? If we are really his children, if we have that strong relationship, if we understand that we were slaves and now we became his children, then we have to show and live the life to become what? The first fruit of so-and-so, right? It takes a lot of courage and takes a lot of being intentional about it. But it is the Lord who is the Lord of peace and the Lord of harmony and the Lord of order that he made them the first fruit. They didn't do this by themselves. They didn't say, came to Paul and said, you know what, we are very, very strong in our faith and we show you how we can impact Corinth that is falling apart because you did a bad job. No, they didn't do that. But because who they are, the Lord allowed them, the Lord used them to be the first fruit, to bring what, as it says, refreshment. To bring refreshment. Allow the Lord to use us to be the first fruit. First fruit in our families, in our relationships, in our homes, in our churches. Are we the first fruit to cause issues? Or the first fruit to bring peace and harmony? Are we the first fruit to divide and just wait for anything to happen, said, there you go, how could this happen, and go on and on and on and on and start a big fight and big division? Or we are the first people to bring refreshment to the church, to our relationships, to our families, to our spouses, to our communities. First fruit. This is number one. The Lord made them the first fruit. Why? Because they accepted him. The Lord is also, as I said, the Lord of unity and the Lord of peace. He said something else that is beautiful in the Catholic epistle today, the epistle of St. James, chapter 4 and verse 10. We all know it, right? He said, what did he say? Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and you will be what? You'll be what? Lifted up, exalted. You'll be lifted up. But the condition here is what? Humble yourself. And who will exalt us? Ourselves? Where we at? What we became? You will be exalted.
By whom?
By him. By him. Why? Because this is his mission. This is what he wants. As we said before, to bring everybody again to the head, to himself. But in order for him to exalt, to lift us up, we need to do? To go down, right? Which is very, very hard. Like, what do you mean when you need to be down, to be the last, to be, you know, on the bottom, the last of everything? Because this is the only way that we will be exalted. And once we are exalted, we'll become what? When he was exalted on the cross, when he was lifted up on the cross, what did he do? He brought everybody back to him. And that's our mission, each one of us, to be exalted by him in order to bring people, that we all become one. Again, first one, allow him to make us the first fruit. Number two, allow him to exalt us. But in order to do this, I have to lower myself. I have to humble myself. And finally, the last thing is in the book of Acts today. I'm just going through the readings. Acts chapter 15 and verse 9. It's talking about, again, the book of Acts is talking about the division that also happened because of what? You have to go back again to Judaism before you become Christian, right? It's not just easy. You can't just walk to the church and say, okay, I'm the child of God. No, that's not going to work. You have to prove yourself that you are worthy for that. No, that's not the church. That is not the church. The church is welcoming everyone, whoever we are, because we come to him, as we said, and he becomes what? The great physician that heals and changes. So in the debate about that, about going back again to the Judaism, you know, St. Peter says something that's very important. He goes in verse again, 15, Acts 15, 8 and 9. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. Those Gentiles, those who are out of the church, those who are not, you know, clean enough to be part of the church, you know what? The Lord is working with them. Don't worry. I don't come here because I am good. I come here because I am sick. And I need him. I mean, that's why we all unite together. But he said something, he kept going, that the Holy Spirit just was given to them as just was given to us. There is nobody that is better than the other. And then verse 9, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. So what makes no distinction is what? Purifying their hearts by faith. God wants to unite. But in order that he has to do that, he has to purify our hearts by faith. Faith is what? As we said before, we said it in the Bible study several times. Faith is trusting that he is able to change me. Simply. Let's not go into theology and dogmas. No. Faith, in a very simple way, is trusting God's work to make me pure. To make me whole. To make me one. Trusting God that he is able to unite, not to divide. That is faith. Because he says that purifying their heart by faith. And before that said, God had made no distinction between us and them. There is no distinction. We're all the same. Don't look at somebody else and say, I can't believe that person, they are living so and so, they are so bad and they are going to whatever. And no, don't let's not think about it this way. Let's think that there is no distinction. There is no distinction. Why? Because he purified our hearts by faith. But what makes the distinction is whether I trust that he is able to change me or not. Right now, right this moment, whatever that is, again, I said that acts are based on a division that's happening. Whatever there is a division in our hearts, not necessarily relational, but maybe division between I'm really struggling, you know, between the body and the spirit. Maybe I'm really struggling between being holy, committing my life to him, or being just, you know, holding the stick from the middle. Like maybe, you know, here I am on Sunday and then I just can't wait to go on and carry on my routine and my life tomorrow as anything, but not even tomorrow, in a couple hours, like anything else and anybody else. That is division. That is the main division that causes every other division from the outside. Is the division that I cannot really make up my mind. The Lord keeps telling me, come, I'll purify you. And I keep listening to the devil saying, you know what? You lose everything if you follow him. You lose your life. You lose your fun life. You lose the style that you're living. You know, these people who go to church and they commit to themselves to the Lord, is very boring life. That is the division. But the unity, what God wants is to unite everybody back again. Why? Because he said that there is no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Again, do I trust now, this moment, whatever division that's in my mind that's preventing me from fully committing my life to the Lord? What is that? What is it that I love so much that I won't be able to let go? What is it that I think that this is the whole life is focused on that thing? And without it, I'll be miserable. The Lord say, no, you're not. Just bring it. Even if you don't know how to take care of it, even if you don't know how to go, just come and bring it to the altar. Put it up front and put it on the surface. Said, Lord, this is what's causing the division. This is why I'm so struggling. This is why I can't even, a divided house is not even enjoying anything. So it needs no brainer, to be honest with you. Why do I keep my life in misery while I have the solution? I have the life. I have the way. I have him saying, come, just trust me. I can change you. Just trust me. I can make you a reason. I can exalt you. I can make you a reason for everybody else to be united together. we're all stubborn, and we think we know everything, and because of that, we fall into more and more and more division. While he is saying, "What? Just trust me, I can do that." The disciples didn't trust him, thought he's sleeping, taking a nap. So like, what's wrong with you? You're scared from that? Okay, just be still. Peace. He's able to come today and say, peace, be still, to my heart and your heart and every one of us. Let's enjoy his presence. Let's enjoy that he is giving peace, giving harmony. Let's come and face those things that are causing that division today, now. He said, no, it's enough division, enough living, you know, dancing, as we say in Arabic, dancing on the ladder, right? I don't know if I'm up or down. 2 steps here and 5 steps there, and then I fall, and then I... No, we still fall, but we're holding on him, knowing that he is the one that brings us to become whole together. Be a first fruit, allow him to exalt you, and finally, what's the last thing? See if you're, if I lost you or not. Humble, that's why he exalts you. The last thing is purified by the faith. Trust that he is changing. Trust that he's changing. That's why we come and we keep screaming and crying in the liturgy, have mercy on us, Lord. May God give us that beautiful life that he wants us to live. Life of harmony, life of peace, life of holistic worship to him, the glory now and forever, to the ages of all ages. Amen.